I'm excited about being here. I'm excited to show you. It's so much nicer speaking to people than it is to my phone. But if you're online listening today, right now, let me just say this. If you want to pause this message and you like a printed outline, you can go to our website and go to pastors' blogs, and there'll be an outline there. And I would encourage you to do that. And if you're with us tonight, I'd encourage you to take notes as well, because I'm going to share a lot of verses with you. And it's going to be impossible for you to remember them all, because I'm giving them and I can't remember them all. So I encourage you to do that. The federal mental health czar is calling for more money to expand services to help people suffering amid the social isolation imposed by this coronavirus pandemic. She said this, a new study estimates related deaths from alcohol, drug, and overdose, and suicide could reach 150,000 people. If you're not following it, we just turned over 100,000 people with the virus. It could be that the solution they've given us is going to take more deaths. I also read that one article said that I read this week that suicides have already exceeded our yearly average, and it's only May. And it's not just here in the United States. Domestic abuse has risen during this coronavirus emergency in England. England's online abuse services said this. They said that national domestic abuse surged by 700% in a single day. They also said this. They also reported recently released revealing domestic abuse killings has doubled over 21 days. My friends, people are losing hope. And instead of hunkering down in our bunkers, the church needs to step up and start sharing the life-changing news of the gospel. Instead of being controlled by the media or the so-called experts or our government officials, we need to be controlled by the Spirit of God. When you think about it, this is really nothing new to the church. Christians have been willing to lay down their lives for the sake of the gospel ever since Stephen was stoned in Acts chapter 7. If you were with us last week, you know that we addressed fear and how it's affecting many in the church today. We then looked at who God is. And we found out that when we focus on God and who He is, instead of focusing on circumstances and who we are, when we focus on God, our fear dissipates. We then looked at the life of Jesus. Jesus, who lived his life not wondering if his lifestyle would kill him, but knowing that his lifestyle would kill him. And then we saw three key ingredients to Jesus' life that helped him fulfill God's will for his life. And if you've missed that message, you can go on to our Facebook page, Center Barnstead Christian Church, or you can go to our website at centerbarnsteadcc.org, and you can either download or listen to the message online. So, what we want to look at tonight is how can you find hope? With so many people losing hope, how can you find hope? A hope that will keep someone from wanting to beat up their spouse or children. A hope that replaces the alcohol you want to drink to take away your pain. A hope that replaces those drugs you take to escape your situation? Or worse yet, where do you find that hope that will convince you that your life really is worth living? Well, that's what we want to look at today. But a question before we do that. Unless your first thought is a religious answer, don't make it religious because you want to sound good, okay? But what's the first thing that comes to your mind when you think of the word awesome? All right, what's the next thing that comes to your mind when you think of the word awesome? Awesome. Well, you don't have to. You can keep it to yourself. What's that? No, you can. Well, I'll tell you what, when the psalmist thought of the word awesome, he thought God. Here we go. How awesome is the Lord Most High, the great King over all the earth. Psalms 47 and verse 2. The title of our message this evening is God is Awesome. And because God is awesome, He can and will supply all the hope that we need, as well as the ability to live whatever circumstances that we find ourselves in. Now, we have one point to make tonight, and then we will supply subpoints to prove that that one point is correct. So our point is this. Number one, if you're taking notes, God is awesome. God is awesome. And He's awesome because of A, God is holy. God is holy. Now, holy can be a confusing word to many people. When some people hear the word holy, they envision angels, little babies with wings on it, sitting on clouds in heaven. Or when they think of holy, they think of somebody that's really pious. They use religious words that no one else can understand. Or they dress the part of a holy person, whatever that should happen to look like. But in actuality, holiness just means set apart. In other words, the fact that God is holy means that He is separated from everything that is unclean or sinful. In God's case, not only is He separated from all that is unclean and evil, God is all that is right. God is all that is right. Some would say that holiness is the greatest, most basic attribute of God. Everything God does and everything He is clean and right. Your eyes are too pure to look on evil. You cannot tolerate wrong. Habakkuk chapter 1 and verse 13. Moses writes, "Who among the gods is like You, O Lord? Who is like You? Majestic in holiness, awesome in glory, working wonders. In Your unfailing love, You will lead the people You have redeemed. In Your strength, You will guide them to Your holy dwelling." Exodus chapter 15, verses 11 to 13. Because God is holy, because He is entirely separated from evil, because God is all there is aright, you can have hope that everything God does for you is right. God's awesome. He's awesome because He's holy, but He's also awesome because He's true. B, God is true. Now, any of you have issues with trusting people? Yeah. Or the media, or politicians. Many of us have problems with trust issues. But let me say this. You can trust God. Jesus said, "I am the way and the truth and the life." John chapter 14 and verse 6. See, God is not a source of truth. He is truth. And because He is truth, God is always consistent with himself. He is all that he should be because he is truth and cannot lie. God did this so that by two unchangeable things in which it's impossible for God to lie, we who have fled to take hold of the hope, there's that hope again, take hold of the hope offered to us may be greatly encouraged. We have this hope as an anchor for the soul, firm and secure. And what's that hope? That hope is in God, the God who cannot lie. Hebrews chapter 6, verses 18 to verse 19. Paul, a servant of God, an apostle of Jesus Christ, for the faith of God's elect and the knowledge of the truth that leads to godliness. A faith and knowledge resting on the hope, there's that hope again, that hope of eternal life, which God, who does not lie, promised before the beginning of time. Titus chapter 1, verse 1 and 2. My friends, there is hope. Every promise in the Bible is backed by a God who does not and cannot lie. God's promise to never leave you or forsake you during this pandemic or any other time is as secure as God's promise to use every situation in your life. You're good. And it's as good as God's promise of eternal life. There is great hope in the fact that our God is true, truth. Thirdly, God is awesome. But he's also awesome because God is love. God is love. Now, please understand that God's love is nothing like the emotional, superficial love that Hollywood portrays to you. God does not love you because of who you are. God loves you in spite of who you are. God doesn't love you because he wants something from you. God loved you when you were entirely unlovely. But God demonstrated his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Romans chapter 5 and verse 8. And you know what? God loves you enough to even call you his child. How great is the love the Father has lavished on us that we should be called children of God. And that's what we are. The reason the world does not know us is that it did not know him. Dear friends, now we are children of God. And what we will be has not yet been made known. But we know that when he appears, we shall be like him. For we shall see him as he is. Everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself just as he is pure. 1 John chapter 3, verse 1 to 3. My friends, there is great hope in the fact that God's love is not simply sentimental, but his love is based in his truth and his holiness. Your spouse may have stopped loving you. Your best friend may have severed that relationship. Your children may never contact you, but that will never happen with God. Because when it comes to love, well, that's who God is. So we know and rely on the love God has for us. And then John says the statement, God is love. 1 John chapter 4, 16. God is awesome. But he's also awesome because God is wisdom. God is wisdom. Now, although I have been accused of being a wise guy from time to time, I don't think anybody was thinking like God-wise. I think he was thinking something totally different. But Socrates, although one of the world's wisest men, said this. He acknowledged that his wisdom could be summed up in the fact that he knew that he knew nothing. God is not like that. Not God know all things, but in his unlimited wisdom, he has planned all things. And there's great hope in that. Wisdom is seen throughout as well as our universe. Now, if you question God's wisdom, just look at our planet. The psalmist writes, he established the earth upon its foundations so that it will not totter forever and ever. Psalms 104, verse 5. You don't have to worry about the world starting to wobble or go in different circles. God in his wisdom designed it to work like it does. And it works well. Then after he placed the planet in place, in his wisdom, he provided food for those that would live on that planet. He makes grass grow for the cattle and plants for man to cultivate, bringing forth food from the earth. Psalms 104 and verse 14. In his wisdom, God placed everything where it should be. The moon marks off the seasons, and the sun knows when to go down. You bring darkness, it becomes night, and all the beasts of the forest prowl. The lions roar for their prey and seek their food from God. The sun rises and they steal away. They return and lie down in their dens. Psalm 104, 19 to verse 22. As smart and as wise as man thinks he may be, it doesn't come close to God. My purpose is that they may be encouraged, as that hope again, encouraged in heart and united in love, so that they may have the full riches of complete understanding, in order that they may know the mystery of God, namely Christ, in whom are hidden, now listen to this, all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Colossians chapter 2 and verse 2. H.B. Smith stated that God's wisdom means this. God produces the best results with the best possible means. God produces the best results with the best possible means. Oh, my friends, there is great hope in the fact that God is wisdom. For you see, in God's wisdom, he has planned the very best results for us. And the best path for us to travel to reach those results. If God was wise enough to plan out all that was involved in making creation work, don't you think he's wise enough to plan out your life and mine as well? God is awesome. He's awesome because he's the God of wisdom, but he's also awesome, because God is just. God is just. Now, if you've been watching the news at all this week, the name George Floyd should sound familiar to you. From all accounts, the justice, and I say that in quotes, the justice he received for his alleged crime is not justice at all. That will never, ever happen with God. The psalmist writes, Mighty King, lover of justice, you have established fairness. You have acted with justice and righteousness throughout Israel. Psalms 99 and verse 4. God is entirely correct and consistent in everything he does. There is never any unfairness. There is never a wrong decision. And God does not have favorites. Then Peter began to speak. I now realize how true it is that God does not show favoritism, but accepts men from every nation who fear him and do what is right. Acts chapter 10, verse 34 to verse 35. So have hope. Have hope during this pandemic. God is just. God will do what is right by you, whether you live in a White House or in a jailhouse. You never have to worry about coming out on the short end with God. God is entirely fair and just in all his dealings. And he is fair, rewarding the faithful as well as punishing the evildoers. So God's just. God is awesome because he's also merciful. F, God is merciful. Looking for something to put your hope in? How about this? But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 4 to 5. You know, it's one thing for me to say that someone is rich, but for God to say that he's rich, well, that just takes a different stratosphere. Mercy. Mercy describes the acts of God which displays his love. God, love is what God is. Mercy is what God does. Mercy is God's pity for man, whether he deserves it or not. See, God was not obligated to do anything for us. God was not obligated to save us. God was not obligated to forgive us. Yet, because of his mercy on us, he did. He saved us, not because of righteous things we had done, but because of his mercy. Titus chapter 3 and verse 5. Looking for hope? Consider this. If God was merciful enough to die for you, don't you think he'll also take care of you? God doesn't show mercy. He is mercy. God is merciful in that he shows compassion on believers and on sinners by making both physical as well as spiritual provisions for us. For the Lord your God is a merciful God. He will not abandon or destroy you or forget the covenant with your forefathers, which he confirmed to them by oath. Deuteronomy chapter 4 and verse 31. And then just one more. God is awesome. God is awesome because of G. God is three in one. God is three in one. Any of you ever have superheroes growing up? No? No superheroes? Yeah. Who? Who was your superhero? Wonder Woman, yeah. Mark, who was your superhero? Bionic Man, yeah. My superhero, and I've said this before, was Superman. And not any of these wannabe Superman. I mean, I'm talking about the real Superman, George Reeves. Alias Dick Clark Kent, alias Superman. And if it wasn't for those kryptonite bullets, George Reeves would still be alive. But anyway, he was my hero. Just think if you needed something and your superhero showed up and there were three of them. Imagine having three supermen or Wonder Women or Bionic Man there to help you. Well, that's what we have with God. That's exactly what happens when God shows up to help us. That is exactly what happens with God. The Holy Spirit comes, the Son of God comes, and God the Father comes to help meet any need or deficiency that you might have. Moses wrote, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one." Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 4. 1 plus 1 equals 3. Everywhere's in the world, except in heaven. God is 100% God. Jesus is 100% God. Holy Spirit is 100% God. They have different functions in our life, but no one is less God than the other. And although they can act independently of each other, they work as one. Now, I can try and illustrate this truth to you, and many people have, but know this. You can't explain it, and we can't understand it, because we're not God. But because God is truth, we know it to be true. But one day, and we talked about this earlier, a little earlier tonight, one day we will understand it. Because, dear friends, now we are children of God, and what we will be has not yet been made known. But we know that when he appears, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself just as he is pure. 1 John chapter 3, verses 2 and 3. Need hope today? Well, think about this. If you have accepted Christ as your personal Savior, if you have a personal relationship with God, at the moment of your salvation, all three, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit came to indwell you. Jesus replied, "If anyone loves me, he will obey my teaching. My Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him." John chapter 14 and verse 23. My friends, you do not have to be a statistic. There is hope. If you know Christ is your personal Savior, you have 100% of God living in you. You have the three most powerful superheroes of all time ready and able to help you. There is no reason why a Christian needs to live in fear or without hope. Because if you have a need, the God of truth has promised to meet all your needs. And my God will meet all your needs according to his glorious riches in Christ Jesus. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 19. And if you're here today or you're listening, on our website, please understand this. If you're here today and you do not know Christ as your Savior, you can accept him today. You can allow God to come in and indwell your hearts. A God that will provide you with hope and provide you with everything else that we discussed today plus more. If you've never received Christ, you can email me at pastor@centerbarnsteadcc.org, pastor@centerbarnsteadcc.org. And we'd be happy to help you know how you can come to Christ. We have some information we'd love to send you. But if you're looking for hope, you'll never find everlasting hope apart from God. This God who is awesome. You know, doesn't matter what the problem is. There's one solution to the problem. If you're lacking hope, the solution is if you need help with your finances. If you need help with your finances and you're discouraged, the answer is the same. If you're fearful, if you're living in fear, if you're afraid of all the things that are going on around you, the solution to fear is the same as the solution to hope, the solution to your finances, solution to wayward kids, solution to whatever problem you have in your life. And that's Jesus. And we want to close with a song tonight entitled, Come to Jesus. So stand with me as we sing this song this evening.